You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
So good morning, everybody. My name is Paul Ladd. I'm the director of the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development, UNRIST. UNRIST is an autonomous research institute based in the UN here in Geneva, and we undertake interdisciplinary research and policy analysis on the social dimensions of contemporary development issues. Through our work, we aim to ensure that social equity, inclusion, and justice are central to development thinking, policy, and practice. So welcome to our side event today. For those of you who have chosen to sit at the back, I offer you the opportunity to move forward if you'd like to, so that we can fill some of this space and make it a bit more comfy at the front. This event is held, of course, in the context of the Human Rights Council, and today we're going to hear perspectives from civil society, international organisations and governments on universalising access to sexual and reproductive health and rights. Now, as you will know, the right to health is enshrined in several human rights instruments, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, and the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights. SRHR is further elaborated in several general comments, most explicitly in General Comment number 22 on the right to sexual and reproductive health. The 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs have reinforced these obligations, calling for universal access to these rights by 2030 and explicitly in targets 3.7 and 5.6. Now, we're very happy to be hosting this event with the Sexual Rights Initiative, represented here today by Megan Doherty from Action Canada for Sexual Health and Rights. We have experts on our panel today from government, from civil society, from our UN colleagues, who will share with us their experiences and explore the intersectionality between family planning, social protection, development and human rights. As a social development research institute, we believe that we can play a role in fostering dialogue and in supporting the lead health agencies in the UN and beyond to strengthen universal access to these rights by providing governments and other actors with sound, evidence-based research that leads to policies and programs, policies that allow everyone, including women, men, non-binary people, adolescents, lesbian, gay and bisexual people, men who have sex with men, people who have or are affected by HIV and AIDS, people living in poverty, Indigenous peoples and people with disabilities, to be fully informed and empowered to make choices and take control of their sexual and reproductive health. Now, we coordinate a platform in UNRIST, which many of you will be aware of, on social protection and human rights, which collates and provides resources on rights-based approaches to social protection in different sectors. And if you'd like to know more about that, then please, you can see my colleague Doreen, who's at the end of this panel after the event. Now, in a moment, I'm going to hand over to Mr. Nuno Cabral from the Permanent Mission of Portugal for opening remarks. Before that, please just allow me to talk about a couple of housekeeping things. First, the event is being recorded and will be available on the UNRIST website afterwards. Secondly, we encourage you to live tweet from the event. We welcome your comments and questions, and we may be able to put questions to the panel if we have time at the end. You can follow us as an institute at UNRIST. And lastly, you should have an evaluation form on your desk, which is very helpful for us to give us feedback about what you liked about the event, what you didn't like, what worked, what didn't work well. So I please ask you also to fill that in for us before you leave. So, Mr. Cabral, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much for giving me the floor. Good morning to all colleagues. My name is Nuno Cabral. I'm one of the members of the Permanent Mission of Portugal, who is in charge of human rights. And I'll begin by thanking the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development and the Sexual Rights Initiative for inviting us to join them as co-sponsors of this side event. I am very glad to be representing my country and my permanent mission here today. I was asked to make opening remarks. I believe that one of the most perennial laws of multilateral diplomacy, and especially at the United Nations, said nobody really goes to side events because of opening remarks. You're not here to listen to me. That is actually a great relief, because it takes away the pressure of my, in any way, competing with the experts here at the panel for your attention. So I believe that my duty is, as a diplomat, to leave as much time as possible to the experts, because they will probably, well, they will certainly tell you something you don't know already, and that is really not my job. As diplomats, nonetheless, working in the human rights department, it's frequent to look at sexual and reproductive health and rights as one of those issues that will inevitably be at the source of very complicated discussions, even among close regional partners. And consequently, they will be the source of haggling and lecturing and so forth. Most of us, if not all of us, have been parties to such processes, and they will probably continue as such in the coming future. But this is only a part of the whole story, and it's by no means the relevant part of the reality. Reality actually sinks in when we are aware of the tangible progress in the enjoyment of human rights and social development that universal access to sexual and reproductive health care allows. My own country may serve as an example. Until the mid-70s of the 20th century, political and economic conditions were at the source of significant inequality in access to quality health care. And as it was apparent by the Vox Populi, a very socially conservative country also imposed a formal ban on abortion and sexual education. And I mean formal because informally and unsafely, those practices, the practice of abortion, obviously took place. The 1974 revolution introduced significant social and economic changes and lifted almost overnight many of the legal barriers imposed on women. So much for social background. However, a progressive mindset can only get so far without practical implementation. And the commitment to establishing a universal healthcare system soon took down the dramatic numbers of infant mortality, birth, from the highest to among the lowest in Europe. The same can be said of unsafe abortion, which, according to rather recent data, is close to eradication, 9 years after the decriminalization of abortion and its provision by the public universal healthcare service. The impact that such progress has in the enjoyment of human rights, in particular by women and girls, cannot be overstated. And as such, it is of utmost importance that what was achieved by adopting the 2030 agenda is now fully implemented. I'd like to close by underlining the crucial link between the SDG goal on health and the one on gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls. Without understanding the intersection between gender inequality, human rights, and health outcomes, it will be impossible to achieve health targets such as the elimination of HIV, that of preventable deaths of newborns and under 5-year-olds, or a reduction in maternal mortality. Implementing our human rights obligations, which fortunately account for a great deal of the SDGs themselves, represents tangible and durable social transformation and progress. I certainly hope that our work here in Geneva may contribute to that goal. Thank you very much.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unrhys.org. Thank you for listening.